Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to us through them, I ask, in Jesus' name. There are some stories that are just too terrible to tell from the pulpit. And a priest would have to be pretty brave to tell one of those. Like, there was a guy out west who went to see a psychiatrist, and he said, "Doc, I'm having all sorts of bad dreams. One night I dream I'm a teepee, the next night I dream I'm a wigwam. Then the next night I dream I'm a teepee again. And the night after that I dream I'm a wigwam. It's just terrible." The doctor said, "Oh, just relax. It's obvious you're just too tense. Wigwam, teepee. Aren't you glad I never began a sermon with a story like that?" Well, the reality is there are too many people that are too tense. They're stressed out. We live in a society that is just full of stress. W.H. Auden wrote a poem one time entitled "The Age of Anxiety," and that certainly still applies today. We live in an anxious world. I dare say that many people greet each day with a sense of dread, like thinking, "What bad thing is going to happen to me today?" Sophocles put it this way: "To him who is in fear, everything rustles." Robert Burton, in his Anatomy of Melancholy, says simply, "They that live in fear are never free. They that live in fear are never free." We can identify with the disciples of Jesus who were in the upper room that Sunday evening of Easter, and how it says that they were there nervously gathered together. John says that they were there behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. It's tragic when the church door is shut because of fear. You know, we see so many churches around the country today that are still shut out of fear of COVID, or out of fear of government sanctions, or even out of fear of government reprisals. So many churches are closed. It used to be that all churches were open. The doors of the church were never locked. Of course, we lock doors now because we're afraid people will come in and steal things or vandalize the church. There were other doors that were shut, however, in the good old days, the golden oldie days, if you will. There were, for example, doors that were shut against people of different ethnicities or colors. It's tragic when the doors of the church are shut because of fear. It's also tragic when fear shuts the doors of individuals' hearts, like a single person who is fearful of entering into a relationship because they're afraid of rejection, or they're afraid of some other thing that keeps them from entering into a relationship. Or married couples that are living in fear because something in their relationship has caused them to become controlling or angry or unwilling to communicate. Fear causes the heart to be closed. When we're afraid of making changes in our own lives because we know we're doing something that's contrary to God's will or contrary to God's word, we're afraid of making changes, and when that happens, our hearts become closed to God and what He wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. When we isolate ourselves from others and from God because of something out there that is too threatening, we're not free. So let me ask you a question. Are you living behind a locked door of fear today? The antidote for fear, according to Scripture, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. I like what the King James Version translation of Isaiah 26, verse 3 says. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or fixed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, because in the Lord Jehovah there is everlasting strength." The book of Hebrews echoes this when it says in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." When Jesus appeared to his disciples on that first Easter evening, their eyes were fixed on him. They were totally focused on Jesus Christ. And when that happened, their faith came alive. The fear they were living in deceased. It was gone. And certainly they began to live a whole new life after that. Turn, if you will, in our bulletins to John chapter 20, our gospel lesson today. And as we just read, On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When we focus our minds on Jesus, he brings us peace. He continued to speak in verse 21 to his disciples, again saying, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, earlier, Jesus had promised his disciples that the Holy Spirit, who was living with them, would one day come to live inside of them. So this is what is happening. He is imparting to them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming to live inside of them. Their spirits are being reborn, and now they're a new creation in Christ because Christ has imparted to them the Holy Spirit. It happened that one of the apostles was not with them when that happened, however, and that was Thomas. Thomas was out doing something else. We don't know what he was doing, but he eventually came back to where the other disciples were, and they said, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas must have been thinking to himself, you know, you're just so full of grief that you're just imagining that you've seen Jesus. I mean, you do want to see him so bad that you've kind of conjured him up in your minds. But Thomas wanted to bring them back to reality, so he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and unless I put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Let me take a little aside here and share something with you that you might not have noticed. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was nailed to a torture stake with his hands above his head like this and one nail through both hands. But Thomas disproves that idea with what he said. If you notice what he says, "Unless I put my finger where the mark of the nails, plural, were, I will not believe." He testifies to the reality that Christ was crucified in the normal way that we think of, with his hands spread apart on the crossbar of the cross. Thomas's skepticism that the resurrection of Christ is a normal reaction to anything, anytime we hear something that is claimed to be miraculous. We're always skeptical of the miraculous, as was Thomas. Dead men don't come back to life, especially men that suffered like Christ did, the sort of death he suffered and the agonizing way he died. The doors of Thomas' heart were closed because of the idea that Jesus was alive. But 8 days later, he was with the apostles and disciples, and it says again that Jesus came walking through a locked door and appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." Thomas could have been fearful of doubting Jesus' resurrection. He could have been afraid of what Jesus might have done to him because he doubted. But instead, Jesus came speaking peace. He said, "Peace be with you." Jesus wants to bring peace to us in the midst of a troubled and unpeaceful world. Jesus says, "Okay, Thomas, I want you to stick your finger where the nails were, and I want you to stick your hand in the spear wound in my side, and realize that it is really me who's standing in front of you." And then Thomas's reaction was one of actual belief in Christ, now belief in his resurrection. He said, "My Lord and my God." Well, we often think that Thomas was kind of surprised as, "Oh, my Lord and my God." But that was not the case at all. Thomas was proclaiming, "Now I believe that you are my Lord and my God." You see, when we encounter Jesus spiritually, we know that he's alive, and we know that he loves us and forgives us. We realize that he's God in human flesh, and we want him to be the ruler of our life, which is what the word Lord really means. Jesus said, "Thomas, have you believed because you've seen me?" Well, there are going to be others who come along who are going to believe in me, even though they don't see me physically. When a person comes to believe that Jesus is alive based upon the overwhelming evidence or based upon their experience with Christ, they realize that he loves them so much that he's forgiven their sins, that he's made it possible for them to have a relationship with God. That grace that is given is overwhelming, causing them to invite Jesus to come into the door of their heart. Just as Jesus passed through those locked doors, he can pass through the closed doors of our hearts if we open them. This is what Jesus was talking about in Revelation chapter 3 when in John's vision, Jesus says this. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them and they with me. Now, Jesus wants to come into the life of every person. I believe he's standing at the door of every person's heart, knocking, calling out to them, won't you open the door for me? Won't you allow me to come into your life? Won't you allow me to transform you and make you a new person? Won't you allow me to give you eternal life? But so many people turn their ears off to his knocking. They don't want to hear his voice. They don't want to pay any attention to that urging of Christ to invite him into their hearts. You see, Christ will not force his way into anyone's life. He must be invited. And so if Jesus says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into them and eat with them, which is the Jewish way of saying I will have fellowship with them. I'll have a relationship with them. I remember when I opened the door of my heart to Jesus for the first time. It really was an amazing experience. It felt like the love of God was just flowing through me, like kind of like a river flowing through me almost. And it was an amazing experience. I experienced a peace that I'd never experienced before. The fear that I'd been living in was gone instantly when I came to believe in Christ. And it was an amazing experience. So the question is, have you opened the door of your heart to Jesus? Have you experienced the love of God being poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit? You know, I never realized that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I came across a verse in Romans chapter 5 that says, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So I realized the experience I had was simply a fulfilling of what Scripture said that God wants to do in our hearts. When you experience the love that Jesus has for you, you realize that your sins are forgiven. You realize that you have a home in heaven. You realize that he's going to walk with you through the trials of life. So ultimately then the question becomes, what is your greatest fear? Do you know that if you don't have that fear, there's no guarantee that that which you no longer fear would not happen? But on the other hand, by living in fear of something happening, there's no guarantee that that which you fear will or will not happen. Psychologists say that 9/10 of our fears never happen. Wouldn't you rather live in faith and trust in God's ability either to prevent that which you fear or walk with you through that which you fear? Jesus said in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to ask God to set us free from that which we might fear. Now you might say, well, I can't think of anything I'm afraid of right now, but maybe there's an inner fear that you don't even know about. But I believe God wants to set people free today from fear. So would you bow your heads and let's ask God to set us free from anything that might be behind those locked doors of fear. Father, we thank you for reminding us that Jesus Christ came to pour his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that perfect love casts out fear. Lord, I pray that you would set us free today from anything about which we're afraid. Maybe it's fear of death. Maybe it's fear of illness. Maybe it's fear of running out of money. Maybe it's fear of a broken relationship. Whatever it may be, Lord, would you set us free from that which we fear? Lord, would you enter into our hearts and drive out all fear by pouring your love into our hearts through your Holy Spirit? We speak against any fear now that is in our lives. Jesus, would you set us free tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit? Thank you, Jesus, that you've come to bring your peace to us. Thank you, Jesus, that you've come to pour out your love into our hearts. We thank you for these things in your name. Amen.